देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजाथां सहकना रघुनाथान्वितां थं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावतूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहकना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चना गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द कृष्ण कृष्णा कृष्णा हरि 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 राम 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 हरि हरि हरे कृष्ण। Would you like to hear one example of how enthusiastic Lord Chaitanya was to hear about Krishna? Once, while he was traveling to Jagannath Puri, he came to a town named Varaha Nagar. Could he make this less volume so it doesn't make all that sound? Hare Krishna. Have any of you been to Varaha Nagar? Lord Chaitanya went to the house of one Brahmin man who was simply sitting alone reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. All Srimad Bhagavatam discusses is pure devotional service. Dharma projita kaita vatra parama nirmat sadaram satam. From the very beginning, the Srimad Bhagavatam only narrates the subject of the highest goal of life, unmotivated, unconditional devotional service. Devotional service gives so much pleasure to Krishna. Krishna reciprocates by giving so much pleasure to his devotee. The purer our devotion, the more pleasure Krishna gets, and the way the more he reciprocates and gives us pleasure. And the devotee who has actual pure heart is not concerned with his or her own pleasure. Is only concerned with Krishna's pleasure. There is example, Daruka was fanning Krishna. And as he was seeing Krishna's beautiful form, he was fanning with so much devotion, Krishna reciprocated with him and gave him such ecstasy First, his arms were trembling. It's hard to fan someone when your arms are trembling. And then he became stunned. He couldn't fan Krishna properly. He was stunned and trembling in ecstasy. So he was literally praying. He was angry at these symptoms of ecstasy. He was praying that these symptoms of pleasure would go away so that he could fan Krishna nicely to give Krishna pleasure. Another example is Srimati Radharani. She was serving Krishna and her eyes flooded with tears of ecstatic love. And because of that flooding, she could not properly see Krishna to perform service for him. So she was angry at these symptoms of ecstasy. A devotee's concern is in giving. Giving Krishna pleasure, giving Guru pleasure, giving Vaishnavas pleasure. And to the degree we have that selfless mood, Krishna gives us spiritual happiness. So this Brahmin was just sitting reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and Lord Chaitanya, just by hearing someone speak Srimad Bhagavatam, he became so ecstatic. He said, go on reciting. Recite, recite. Go on reciting. So the Brahmin became more enthusiastic to recite. Just by hearing the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in ecstasy. He was dancing, dancing. His arms were raised. He was crying out, Haribo, and dancing, so beautifully dancing. He lost control of, he lost all sense of anything of this world except the narration of Srimad Bhagavatam. The only thing he would say is, go on reciting. He danced all night long, about 9 hours. The person would just, you know, just reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. How many of our Srimad Bhagavatam classes are like that? That was his taste for hearing. I was requested to speak where I left off on the subject of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Because, believe it or not, it was planned that we go to Ekachakra tomorrow. And it would have been such an easy ride because so many of you are leaving. When we went to Adi Saptagram, Kumarhata, Shrikanda, there were 66 buses. We were just making arrangements for tomorrow, Ekachakra, for all the devotees. All we required was 30 buses. Very intimate. Only 1,500 devotees. But there's a cyclone scheduled to come tomorrow to Bengal, so it wasn't safe to travel by road. So again, we'll go to Ekachakra by sound vibration, with your permission. We left off. We're in Jagannath Puri. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are sitting in a secluded place. Then Lord Chaitanya explains to Nityananda Prabhu that I have given my word that I am going to reach out to the most fallen people of this world and give them Krishna prema through the Nam Sankirtan movement. I have taken sannyas, therefore I must live according to proper exemplary behavior. Therefore, there are certain classes of people I cannot directly associate with, or I will be criticized. And if I am criticized, people's faith in the renounced order and religion itself will diminish. And Bengal, it is so dear to us. It is our place. Nityananda Prabhu, go to Bengal, get married, and preach to everyone, to anyone, everywhere. Previously, in Navadvip, at the house of Srivas, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own arrangement, he went into a trance of divine love. And in that trance, Lord Chaitanya sat him down, washed his feet, and then took the water of that foot wash, and Lord Chaitanya personally drank it, and then distributed it all to all the devotees to drink. And Lord Nityananda was just Hare Krishna, he was just immersed. Then Lord Chaitanya took Nityananda Prabhu's kopan, his loincloth, and tore it into strips. Lord Chaitanya then distributed those strips of Nityananda Prabhu's loin kopan to each and every devotee. Then Lord Chaitanya himself led the way and took Nityananda Prabhu's loincloth and wrapped it around his head and tied it there. All the devotees wrapped it around their heads and tied it. Then Lord Chaitanya revealed his mind. He said, Nityananda Prabhu, his heart is so pure. He is so merciful. Supremely merciful. And he's willing to do anything and go anywhere to reach out to save people's lives. Even if Nityananda Prabhu is seen together with a woman of low character, even if Nityananda with that woman of low character is in a wine shop, still, myself, Brahma, Shiva, everyone worships his lotus feet. Because we know that whatever he's doing is only to show mercy to others. I will tell you the power of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Anyone who drinks his foot wash is going to attain love of Krishna. And anyone who wraps his kopan strips around his head will never suffer from the pangs of desire for material enjoyment. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Lord Nityananda's life, his soul, his everything was only to fulfill Lord Chaitanya's wish. Lord Chaitanya gave Nityananda Prabhu some of the best devotees to go to Bengal with as a preaching party. Ramdas, Abhiramdas, Raghunath Vaidya, Gadadhar Das, Sundarananda, so many of these. they all began their journey. Now, Nityananda Prabhu, he's the Supreme Lord. He's Balaram, the ultimate, original, Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of a servant of God. And how he bestowed mercy was revealed in the following narration. He was just through his glance, through his words, he was investing so much devotional ecstasy in people's hearts. By his influence, the devotees began kirtan, going on the road from Jagannath Puri to Bengal. They were dancing, chanting. Nityananda Prabhu began the dancing and chanting. He was completely intoxicated on the holy name. Ramdas Abhiramdas just was so immersed in Krishna, he stood in the middle of the road in the threefold bending form like Lord Gopal playing his flute for hours. And everyone just danced, danced, danced. Where were they going? Gadadhar Das, so absorbed in remembering the gopis, he was just walking around as if he had a pot of yogurt on his head, saying, "Would anyone like to buy yogurt?" to people on the roadside. Other devotees just immediately thought they were cowherd boys. They started climbing on trees and jumping off trees. This is how they did kirtan. They chanted, they danced. At a certain point, they had no idea where they were. They asked someone, "Where is Bengal?" The passersby, "Hi. You left that road 2 hours ago. You have to go all the way back from where you came from." They smiled. And they started going in that way. But on the way, kirtan. As they were chanting, as they were dancing, they totally lost consciousness of this world by Nityananda Prabhu's influence. Then they asked somebody else, "Which is the way to Bengal?" "Where you're going? To get to the road, it's 9 hours that way. You're going the opposite direction." They smiled, turned around to the other direction, performed Nam Sankirtan. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't really care where they were going. Somehow or other, they ended up in Bengal. At the house of Raghava Pandit in Panihati, on the banks of the river Ganges. Raghava Pandit and his sister Damayanti were two of the very, very greatest devotees. They were expert at cooking. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that every year they would make bags and fill them with prasad for Lord Chaitanya to be brought to Puri. And in one place, Kaviraj Goswami says, "Anyone who sincerely hears the content of those bags will achieve love for Krishna." Hare Krishna. It's a test of our sincerity. So much love and devotion that they cooked with. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so much, people brought so much prasad one year. The devotees, both husbands and wives, all came and they all brought all Lord Chaitanya's favorite preparations from Navadweep, from Shantipur, from Kanyagdap, from Kumarahatta, all these places, Adisaptagram, all come to, and they were all giving Govinda the prasad. And every day they would cook more and more and bring more to Govinda, get more Jagannath prasad and give it to Govinda. And Lord Chaitanya said, just put it in the room. After some time, the entire room was filled with prasad. Weeks went by. Whatever prasad he brought, just put it in the room, put it in the room, put it in the room. But the problem was all the devotees were asking, what did the Lord say? Did he like it? Did he make any comments? How much did he eat? Now Govinda knows he can't lie to devotees. But at the same time, if he said, well, you know, you made those nice subjis, Srivas Thakur, they're still sitting in a room. It would break his poor wife's heart. So Govinda brought some more prasad. Lord just said, put it in the room. Govinda said, but my Lord, what about me? You know, I don't want to break their hearts, but I can't lie to them. They want to know how you like the prasad. The Lord said, then bring it. Bring it? All of it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate the entire room full of prasad in a few minutes. And then he brought the bags of Raghava Pandit. He said, give me a little every day for the rest of the year. And these were like subjis and other types of sweets and other types of savories and grains. But they cooked with so much love, so much devotion, in such a personal way. She would cook in such a way that she'd make one preparation with extra spice and ghee, or even some mustard oil. And then she would think that my Lord must have some indigestion from the previous preparation. So the next bag will be filled with a preparation that will counteract the previous preparation and assist in his digestion. That was how personally they cooked. It wasn't something mechanical. And Lord Chaitanya, whatever her emotion was, that is exactly what he would taste. She made some things that were very bitter, and he loved that. He was so happy with that because it was medicinally good for him, and it was very bitter. But he tasted the purpose in which she cooked it. As we often say, quoting Prabhupada, Krishna does not accept the thing, he accepts the purpose in which it is offered. So Nityananda Prabhu comes to Raghava Pandit's home, and the devotees from that area all come, and Lord Nityananda is with all his associates. And they go into Raghava Pandit's courtyard. Nityananda Prabhu begins kirtan. He was dancing ecstatically. The devotees saw he was in such a mood. This is the opportunity. They said, please sit on the throne of Vishnu. Nityananda Prabhu, who never considered himself anything but the servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Chaitanya, was in such an intoxicated state in Nam Sankirtan. He sat on the throne of Vishnu, and then all the devotees did Abhishekam for him. Then dressed him very beautifully. Sitting from the throne of Vishnu, he had his favorite kirtan singer sing kirtan. Does anyone remember who his favorite kirtan singer was? Loudly, please. One of his favorite kirtan singers. Madhava Ghosh. He and his two brothers, Vasudev Ghosh and Govinda Ghosh, when they would do kirtan, they would manifest Vrindavan through their hearts and their voices. Madhava Ghosh was singing beautiful songs about Krishna and Balaram's leelas in Vrindavan. Nityananda Prabhu entered into that mood of showering love of God on everyone through his glance. He glanced. Every devotee he glanced at went totally mad with Krishna's love. He just glanced at someone immediately. Just trembling, and tears pouring from their eyes and their hair standing on end and their evil. And he just glanced even harder. And that devotee would just climb to the top of a tree and dance on the tree ecstatically as Madhava Ghosh was singing. He was dancing on the branches of the tree. Branches get thinner and thinner. They would be dancing on the twigs that were just holding the leaves way, way, way high up on gigantic trees. And nobody fell. Soon there was like dozens of devotees dancing on top of trees. He just glanced at another one. And it just started trembling and crying in ecstatic love. And devotees would, in affection, while they were dancing, they embraced big, huge trees. And because they were dancing, while they embraced them, they uprooted them. They just threw it. Other devotees, the glance. They just said so much happiness. They found a grove of betel nut trees. They're quite thin. And they embraced a whole bunch of them. Half a dozen of them at a time. And just embraced. And they all went uprooted and threw them as they were dancing. Sometimes you look across the room like this. And that glance was so potent that whoever he glanced at actually fell unconscious in ecstatic love. Just try to picture this. He's looking and everybody in the room is just going falling like this. That was Nityananda Prabhu's power. And he said to Raghava Pandit, please give me a garland of Kadamba flowers. I love Kadamba flowers. And I'm very fond of being with my cowherd boyfriends in Kadamba forests. Raghava Pandit said to Nityananda Prabhu, it's not the season for Kadamba flowers. There are no Kadamba flowers. It's like we have some Kadamba trees at our temple, in Radha Gopinath temple. We have 6 Kadamba trees. Yes? 4 in the back and 2 in the front. And Kadamba flowers only grow very hot season. Yes? There. Only May. So Raghava Pandit said to to Nityananda Prabhu, it's not the Kadamba season. There are no flowers. Nityananda Prabhu smiled very calmly. He said, just go into your garden. Maybe there's a Kadamba flower somewhere. So Raghava Pandit goes into his garden and he sees fully blossomed Kadamba flowers. So many. And they're emitting a fragrance that was absolutely intoxicating. and it wasn't even in season. But the most mysterious thing is they were all growing on a lemon tree. Raghava Pandit picked beautiful kadamba flowers and strung them on a garland and came and offered them around Lord Nityananda Prabhu's neck. He was so happy. And that kadamba flower garland was so fragrant, it just intoxicated everyone. They were dancing and dancing and dancing and loudly chanting the holy name. Suddenly another mystery overcame them. There was a different fragrance. The fragrance of Damanaka flowers. Now this was really strange, because Damanaka flowers do not grow in Bengal. They grow in Puri. The devotees were looking at another. It wasn't just a slight fragrance, it was powerful, powerful scent of Damanaka flowers. Very overwhelmingly sweet. And they were looking at each other. Lord Nityananda Prabhu smiled. He said, "What do you smell?" They said, "Damanaka flowers." So where is the Damanaka tree? So they grow in Puri. That's long, long way away. He said, "I will tell you the mystery that Lord Chaitanya, he is so pleased by our dancing and chanting that he has personally come from Jagannath Puri wearing many garlands of Damanaka flowers. And he's in the form of a tree, so you can't see him. But he's there, wearing his garlands of Damanaka flowers. That's why we are smelling Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's watching our kirtan. And he's very, very happy. So now, let us, without any reservations, without considering anything else in this universal creation, let us absorb our minds for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in chanting the holy names." And he glanced at them. And what kind of kirtan? What kind of kirtan? We cannot describe what kind of kirtan. But still we try. The kirtan went on. Nobody even considered eating, drinking, or resting. What to sleep of? Sleeping. For 3 months. That is the kirtan of Nityananda Prabhu. 3 month, 24-hour kirtan. Nothing but dancing in ecstasy and chanting the holy name. Srila Prabhupada writes that we should pray to Lord Balaram for spiritual strength. Gargamuni gave him the name Baladev Balaram, which means one who takes pleasure in performing pastimes of great strength. Now in Krishna Lila, Balaram, he manifested very strong pastimes. Denukasura. He was eating all those tal fruits in the Talavan forest. And the cowherd boy said, "Krishna Balaram, we want to eat those fruits." Actually, the cowherd boys didn't want to eat the fruits. They wanted Krishna to eat those fruits. and Balaram. That's what they would say, we want to do it. So Balaram goes in and knocked the fruits come down. Big Dainukasur, huge ass. Now sometimes you call people huge ass, but not like this. Sometimes you say you're a big ass, but not like this. They were gigantic. They were bigger than buildings. Huge asses. So much power. Turned its hind legs to Balaram. Boom, boom, boom. Kicked him in the chest repeatedly. Balaram just stood there. With one hand, just grabbed the leg of Dainukasura. Threw him into the air, landed on the top. First he spun him around till he was dead. He died of dizziness. And then he just, in the air, fell on a tree. He was such a big ass that the whole tree fell down. And then that would hit another tree, and that would fall down, and that would fall down, and that would fall down, and that would fall down. Yes, this is the power, Balaram. Just by the strength of his arms, he just big demons, and all these trees are falling. Other demons like Vivida. Sometimes we say you're a big ape, but not like this. Vivida's so big, he would just put his hands in the water and go like, in the ocean. He would put his hands in the ocean and go, and it would cause all the different shores of the ocean to have tidal waves. Hare Krishna. It's not an exaggeration. These are powerful mystics. Balaram, one punch. And Vivida's eyes rolled, and I think he passed urine and stool too, and he fell down. And now that's not an easy thing, to make a big monkey like that pass urine and stool simultaneously and die. Power of Balaram. But in Nityananda Prabhu, that same power was manifested in the form of mercy, of giving love of God to others. Dainukasura, by Balaram's strength, all the trees were falling like this, and all the asses were falling like this. Nityananda, by his glance, all the people were falling like this, in ecstatic love. Such power. So these are not stories. This is history. No sleeping, no eating, no drinking, only dancing for 3 months. And they never wanted it to stop. And in the middle of this kirtan, they all dressed up as cowherd boys and went outside of Raghava Pandit's little area to go look for some cows to herd because they were so absorbed. And when they went out, anyone who even saw Lord Nityananda, his beauty was so charming, so attractive. The power of his sweetness, the power of his beauty was so inconceivable that people's, all their material desires were vanquished. Their love of God was awakened. And they just became superhuman Vaishnavas instantly. There were children, little children playing. They see Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda glances at them. And they just start trembling and weeping. And when they chanted Hare Krishna, these children, it was tumultuous. They were just in a little village, just at A simple little village, children playing. All of a sudden, there's this roaring, thunderous kirtan going on. The people of the village come running out and they see these little children chanting. But Nityananda Prabhu's power impregnated with such strength that they were roaring like hundreds of lions, each child. The holy names of Krishna. All you 3,500 devotees together are not even close to the volume of one of those little children. But you can try again. You cannot imitate, but we could try to follow in their footsteps. Little children, little skinny-armed children, they were roaring, dancing. One of them just, "Hey, Krishna," just put his arms around a gigantic tree. Because he was dancing, uprooted the whole tree. He just threw it. He just threw the tree. And the parents were watching. How to discipline a child like that? The children were trembling and dancing so much. Sometimes hundreds of adults tried to hold down one child and they just all went flying in different directions. They joined the kirtan. And some of these children, they did not eat, sleep for 1 month. They just forgot about all these things. They forgot about their family, they forgot about their parents, they forgot about they were even on the earth planet. They were in the spiritual world, in the presence of Nityananda Prabhu, chanting the holy name. And Nityananda Prabhu was just like a father and friend to them. He would joke with them. He would be affectionate to them. He would teach them, guide them. Sometimes he would feed them with his own hands. And the parents, they were absolutely thrilled. Just by seeing Nityananda Prabhu, they wanted to offer, surrender their lives, their children, their everything to Nityananda Prabhu. It was the spiritual world created on this earth through Nam Sankirtan by Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. Should I continue? Nityananda Prabhu went to the village of Gadadhar Das. In Gadadhar Das's house, what do you think they did? Nam Sankirtan. That was Nityananda Prabhu's all in all, Nam Sankirtan, especially chanting the holy names of Gauranga. They were dancing, 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 dancing everywhere. Nityananda Prabhu was glancing. Those peaceful were just surcharged, overwhelmed. Anyone who saw the beauty of Nityananda Prabhu was overwhelmed with love of God. He was freely giving the highest perfection of life to everyone. Why? That was Lord Chaitanya's instruction to him. And all of Nityananda Prabhu's associates who were empowered by his mercy were like him. It tells, Vrindavan Das Thakur tells a story, one story about Gadadhar Das as an example. In the town he was living was a Qazi. He was a cruel murderer. He hated Hindus. He outlawed Kirtan. And he was so brutal, so violent, that people not only hated him, they were in constant fear of him. And he was the government in charge there. The Qazi was in charge of law and order. He would beat people, kill people, if he found them chanting Hindu names of God. People were so afraid of him. They considered him so contaminated. Just the sight of him, they would run and even jump in the Ganges to purify themselves. He literally terrorized the whole Hindu community. So one night, late at night, Gadadhar Das, feeling the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu in his heart, ran right into the Qazi's house. Qazi has his guards, soldiers all around. Nityananda Prabhu Gadadhar Das runs into the house and screams loudly, "Qazi, you are a rascal. I order you, chant the holy names of Lord Hari, or I will cut off your wretched head." The guards were too shocked to do anything. Qazi, absolutely outraged. He was somewhere upstairs. He couldn't believe anyone was saying this about him. He came running down like fire. But then he looks at Gadadhar Das. He's just smiling. And Gadadhar Das melted his heart just by seeing him. He became very peaceful. Qazi said, "Gadadhar Das, why have you come here so late at night? Go home." Gadadhar Das says, "Qazi, I have come to discuss a most important subject with you. The Supreme Lord has descended on this earth as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. They are the most merciful, the most magnanimous. They have come to freely distribute pure love of God through the simple process of chanting the holy names of Hari Hari. And now, Qazi, the whole world is chanting Hari Hari. Except you. I have come to deliver you. Chant Hari Hari." To say that to the Qazi? Absolute fearlessness. Qazi was shocked that anyone could speak like this to him. But he spoke with such a pure heart. Qazi couldn't harm him. He said, "Gadadhar Das, please, just go home. It's late at night. Tomorrow I'll chant Hari Hari." Gadadhar leaped in the air and said, "You just said Hari Hari! Hari Hari! You're delivered! All your sins are vanquished! You have received Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy! You, from your mouth, have just vibrated the names Hari Hari!" Hari Hari! And Gadadhar Das was so happy that this person who hated him and hated his whole community and hated his whole religion and hated everything about him, he was so happy that he chanted the names. Gadadhar was dancing uncontrollably in the Kazi's house. Kazi and his men just watched. Gadadhar was dancing through the various rooms of his house, weeping, saying, he chanted Hari Hari! And he left. That was the power of the Nityananda Prabhu and his associates. Then Nityananda Prabhu from Gadadhar's house, he went to Gadadhar Das, he went to Adi Saptagram. We discussed that. We're all those gold merchants who are considered the hardest, most materialistic people to become serious about sadhana. You know, every moment means gold. A moment wasted means that much gold lost. Money, wealth. Chanakya Pandit. They have their interpretation of what Chanakya Pandit says. A moment wasted in human life cannot be bought back for any amount of money in the world. Well, for them, a moment wasted means that much less money. Therefore, every moment is the most precious thing. Time is money. If time is money, we should invest all our time in money. So how to preach to people like that? Very difficult. Prabhupada saw this in a newspaper where a wife is telling a husband, chant, chant, chant. And the husband's sitting at the table saying, can't, can't, can't. I don't have time. That's the problem. Don't have time. So these people, very difficult. But Udarandath Thakur, who is an empowered representative of Nityananda Prabhu, made that whole town into Vaishnavas. And when Nityananda Prabhu came, he went to each home, and in every home he performed Nam Sankirtan. And every single person from every single home came out. And they were in the streets with Nityananda Prabhu, Udarandath Thakur, with their arms raised, ecstatically chanting the holy names. Nityananda Prabhu was glancing upon everybody and attracting everybody's hearts, empowering everybody with love of God. A kirtan that cannot be described with human words. There was one occasion where Nityananda Prabhu saw a Muslim man who had nothing to do with Krishna or devotees or anything like that, but Nityananda Prabhu just was seen by him. And all of a sudden, that person, tears poured from his eyes, his limbs trembled, dancing in kirtan. And some Brahmins saw him and felt totally ashamed that I have no devotion, I have no love, I have no knowledge compared to him. Hare Krishna. Until they received the glance of Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Nityananda Prabhu then came here to Navadvip, to the house of Sachi Mata. Sachi Devi and her daughter-in-law, Vishnupriya, they simply lived in what we know is the highest forms of transcendental pleasure, ecstasy, but what apparently is the deepest suffering. Separation from the Lord. Sachi Mata, her 8 daughters died after birth. Her eldest son, at a young age, in Bengal traditionally in those days, they would get their children married quite young. When they were just planning for his marriage, he left home and took sannyas and never came back. And not long after that, Jagannath Mishra, her husband, had a dream. A dream that their only surviving son, Nimai, was a sannyasi. He saw him with a shaved head. He told Sachi this dream I had. His beautiful, long, black hair was shaved. His wondrous, effulgent clothes, his garments were replaced with drab saffron sannyasi robes. He was dancing in Jagannath Puri. And there were tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands of people. I saw Advaita. I saw all these great personalities all following behind him, worshiping him, honoring him. And they were all together loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna. I think our son is going to take sannyas. Sachi Mata said, my dear husband, it was only a dream. Please don't take dreams so seriously. Our son Nimai, he can't live without us. He loves us so much. But the thought of him taking sannyas could not leave Jagannath Mishra's heart. And even though Nimai was just a boy, Jagannath Mishra had fever, and Nimai was at his feet begging him, how will I live? What will I do if you leave? He was serving his father so affectionately. His father passed away. All Sachi Mata had now was her Nimai. She had nothing else. A widow. She gave her life, her soul, her everything only for Nimai. One time in the house of Srivas, Lord Chaitanya was giving benediction to all the devotees. And Srivas Thakur, we have discussed him, how he was always concerned with everyone else. He said, what about your mother, Sachi Devi? Give her love of God. Lord Chaitanya said, Sachi, my mother? My mother? No. Love of God she cannot have. Srivas Thakur and the other devotees, they practically fainted. What do you say? Because she has offended a Vaishnav. She's your mother. She's given you everything. She's given you her love. She's given you her heart. She's given you her life. How can you say this? If she's offended somebody, what is the remedy? The only remedy is she must take the dust of the feet of that devotee. Would you like to hear her offense? Vishwarup took sannyas. After Lord Chaitanya became a devotee, coming back from Gaya, Jagannath Mishra was already gone also. That's all she had was her son. He spent the whole day with the Vaishnavas just chanting and dancing and discussing Krishna. And she was always in the association of Advaitacharya. And this really worried Sachimata. He was hardly home. He was always with Advaita and the Vaishnavas. Vishwarupa also was always with Advaita just before he took sannyas. When Vishwarupa took sannyas, Sachimata wanted to say something, but she knew you never ever say anything about a Vaishnava. So she didn't say anything. But when she saw Nimai, just totally engrossed with the devotees, with Advaita, and hardly home, she became so worried. She said, "I'm a widow. I have nothing. I lost my son. I lost my husband. I have nothing but Nimai. Who cares for a helpless woman like me? If my son leaves me like my other son, where will I be? Who will protect me? What will I have? Why should I live?" But this Advaita, he already took away one of my sons, and now he's about to take away the other son. They call him Advaita, which means non-dual. But I think that he's full of duplicity. Hare Krishna. She said that in motherly love and fear. Lord Chaitanya says, unless she gets the dust of the feet of Advaita Prabhu, she cannot be delivered. So they told Advaita Prabhu this. And Advaita Prabhu said, "Sachi, touch my feet? She's the Ganga. She's Kausalya. She's Devaki. She's Yashoda. She's the mother of the universe. She's Sita. How could she touch my feet? No, it's not possible." And then he began to discuss, "She's Devahuti. She's the embodiment of all love, the embodiment of all devotion. Sachi, Sachi," thinking about Sachi and all of her glorious transcendental qualities, he fell unconscious. And as soon as he fell unconscious, Sachi came out of hiding, ran, and put her head on his feet. And when she touched his feet, she went unconscious, meditating on his good qualities. This is Vaishnava life. Finding the greatest satisfaction remembering the good qualities of each other. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing this, smiled and said, "Mother, today I give you love of Krishna." The story is very important according to our acharyas. It shows how the Lord does not like offenses against Vaishnavas. Now, you and me, we think, of course the Lord doesn't like when we offend Vaishnavas. I've heard it in so many classes. I've read it in Prabhupada's books so many times. There's so many stories to illustrate it. But I'm me. That's the difference. I'm me. I've been around for a long time. I've done a lot of service. If I make an offense, it's not the same. Have any of you ever considered like this? I've done good service. I've done nice sadhana. Krishna will forgive me. When Krishna wants to make a statement, he makes it strong. Lord Chaitanya would not even forgive his own mother. Yashoda, Kausalya, Sita, Sachi Mata was none different than all these great mothers. She was the mother of the Lord. He wanted to use her an example to warn us how dangerous offenses to Vaishnavas are. And after seeing this story, devotees were very much careful. And every sincere devotee who hears this story for all time to come will be very much careful. So Nityananda Prabhu comes to Navadvip and he falls at the feet of Sachi Mata. Because Sachi Mata considered Nityananda Prabhu her own son. She was crying in such happiness. She said to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, "I was feeling such loneliness, such deep, unspeakable loneliness since my Gauranga has left. So many years ago. What do I have? Who do I have? I was only praying. I was praying just today that I would see you. And you have come. Please, Nitai, stay in Navadvip for some time so I can see you." Nityananda Prabhu, he honored and worshipped Sachi Mata with the highest love and esteem. For her pleasure, he remained in Navadvip for many days. While he was here, he would travel around. Wherever he went, he would always blissful Nityananda, making everyone happy, speaking about Gauranga, inducing people to chant, to dance, to discuss Krishna, wherever he went. For some time he was staying at Hiranya Pandit's house on the outskirts of Navadvip. And his devotees, sometimes they would dress him with elegant clothes. And because he was in the mood of a cowherd boy, he would wear those clothes. And actually whoever saw him would be full of bliss and attain love of God. They put beautiful silks on him, silk turbans, silk clothes, gold necklaces, jeweled necklaces, gold and jeweled bracelets, silver ankle bells, like a beautiful cowherd boy, he'd go through the streets of Navadvip and just charm everyone's hearts. Once a devotee, he was actually a relative of Shivananda Sen, he saw Nityananda Prabhu dressed like this. And he thought, what kind of Vaishnav dresses like that? And he went ahead to Jagannath Puri and Lord Chaitanya happened to see that this person was in a distressed state of mind. He was distressed by doubt. Krishna says in Gita, for a doubting soul, there can be no real happiness in either this world or the next. Doubt is like a demon that can cause havoc within the mind of a person. So this person was in tremendous distress because there was this doubt about Nityananda Prabhu. Everyone knows what Lord Chaitanya said about Nityananda Prabhu. But then you see And it appears such a contradiction. Lord Chaitanya asked him, "Please tell me what is on your mind." He said, "You know, Nityananda Prabhu, he dresses with jewels and with gold and with silver and the finest cloth. I've never seen a Vaishnava like this." Lord Chaitanya smiled. He said, "You don't understand what is Nityananda Prabhu." He says, "The ornaments he wears are not mundane ornaments. They are the most effulgent, precious jewels of the spiritual world. He is ornamented with the 9 processes of devotional service. Every jewel is a personification of pure love, pure devotion. That is the ornaments of Nityananda Prabhu. And he wears them not simply for his pleasure, but to attract the hearts of the conditioned souls to the pastimes of Krishna." That person's doubts were gone forever by the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So although so many people, they were surrendering their lives to the Nam Sankirtan movement and to the service of Lord Sri Krishna and Lord Chaitanya through the influence of Nityananda Prabhu, there were thieves that saw those jewels and were attracted for their own purposes. Shall I tell the story? The leader of the thieves was from a Brahmin family. A family that had invested with him tremendous intelligence and power. But he misused it for his own envious purposes. Due to bad association, this Brahmin became the king of a band of dacoits. They were ruthless. For any amount of wealth, they did not consider even twice murdering anyone. It was just part of their job. How can people be so cold-hearted and cruel? But that's what the false ego can do to the pure soul. Just part of a day's work. Cutting people's throats. Killing children. Killing women. Killing anyone. If I can gain something from it. They were feared. Violent. Cruel. The leader saw Nityananda Prabhu and watched him. He even incognito followed Nityananda Prabhu around to find out exactly where he stayed, exactly what he did, exactly who he was. And this was he wasn't just a cheap criminal. He was a very highly intelligent dacoit. He brought his mob together and said, he described the jewels, the cloth, the silks, and they were just thrilled with the thought. He said, "A lifetime of stealing we can accomplish just through this one job." Yes. "One robbery, and we'll have more than we can get if we do robberies every day for the rest of our lives." That's what kind of jewels and ornaments this Nityananda is wearing. They were really excited. Let the dog be a dog. Hari Hari. So they made all their plans. He was at Hiranya Pandit's house. He had spies. As soon as they go to sleep, attack. So they had their weapons. They were hiding. Hari Hari. They were under a tree. The spy sent a message. They finished the kirtan. They just took... Now they're just taking prasad. Just after prasad, they will go to sleep. Suddenly, it was night and dark. All the thieves fell asleep. Now, this never happened to them. They usually go to sleep in the day. They never go to sleep at night. Because night's the best time for robbing and killing and stealing. Yes? They fell asleep at the beginning of the night. And all of a sudden, they hear... They hear roosters calling. They hear birds singing. And they wake up and the sun is up. And people are walking by. And they have all their weapons ready to kill. And they're just hiding their weapons. And one of them said, "Why did you fall asleep?" And the other said, "Me? Why didn't you fall asleep? Why did you fall asleep?" And the other another said, well, you fell asleep first." And he said, "No, you fell asleep first. I never fall asleep. You must have fallen asleep." And they were all about to attack each other. They were fighting, blaming each other. But the leader, he stopped them. He said, "No, the problem is this. This robbery is so auspicious. We did not do yajna and worship for the goddess Chandi to get her blessings. And nothing good should be done without the blessings of the goddess. Therefore, she did not allow us to do it. So tonight, bring meat, bring wine, bring all kinds of tantric paraphernalia, and we will do a big, big, big festival of worship for Chandi to get her blessings. And then tomorrow, we will get all those jewels." And they were talking. They were dividing it up already amongst themselves. "I'll get the bracelets, those gold bracelets. All right, but I'll get that necklace that's with all those jewels and diamonds and emeralds. Well, that's all right, but I'll get the other necklace of solid gold. Well, I'm going to get the earrings." Each one already decided. They did big, big puja, slaughtered animals, offered their blood, offered their meat, took the prasad. Offered wine, took the prasad. They felt completely sanctified and ready to perform their religious work. The next day, they went to Hiranya Pandit's house in the middle of the night. They didn't fall asleep. They just closed in, closer, closer, closer with their weapons, closer with the weapons, closer, closer. But they were shocked. They saw these huge guards. They looked like perhaps 10 feet tall, built like mountains, holding giant sticks, circling the house.
There were so many of them. Any one of them could have just with one blow just eliminated all the dacoits. They ran up and they saw them and they were circling the house constantly saying, Hadi, Hadi. Hadi, Hadi. Hadi, Hadi. And they were afraid. So they came back. What's happening? Maybe they, Nityananda found out that we were attacking, so he hired all these guards, and they were speculating in so many ways, but the leader of the dacoits said, no. There must be some very, very special honored guest who is visiting Nityananda Prabhu, and he has brought his guards. Let's just wait a few days, the guards will go away, and then we will get all the jewels and do whatever we need to do. They had faith in their leader. A few nights later, they did good puja. They brought, each dacoit had 9 or 10 weapons, clubs, daggers, swords, whatever other types of murderous weapons they carried. They were armed all over their bodies. It was a dark night. Nityananda Prabhu and all the devotees appeared to be sleeping. They charged. Suddenly, it became so dark. And then they all lost their eyesight. They became blind. And they're running. And one of them ran right into a sewage ditch. He ran. He fell in. Broke his limbs. He couldn't get out. And then scorpions started to sting him. And big mosquitoes and started to bite him. And leeches sucked his blood. And other types of insects were buzzing around, stinging, biting. The person was howling in agony. They couldn't get out. Another dacoit ran right into bushes of razor-sharp thorns. And he ran so fast into it that he was right in the middle of it. And every one of his limbs was being pierced like swords, daggers, and razors. He was just being cut to pieces. And any movement he made, it just went deeper. Like, he was screaming in pain. In this way, all the dacoits fell into something like that. And they were blind. They couldn't even see where they were. Indra wanted to punish them. Nityananda Prabhu is the Lord of his lords. Indra sent bitter, cold winds. Massive downpour of rain. And then hail. The rain was pouring so hard and it was so cold. They were screaming and they couldn't move. They were either in thorns or they were in ditches and their limbs were broken and they were being eaten and stung by insects and snakes. All the snow turned into hail. Big balls of solid ice that was crashing down on them all night long. Howling in misery. Freezing. So it wasn't, today's boat ride was not so bad.
And this is all happening in Navadvip too. Finally, the dacoit, as hours and hours and hours of suffering with no possibility of doing anything but suffer. He started thinking in his mind about the first time they tried to attack. We never fell asleep like that before. And then the second attack. Those men guarding, they were not humans. There's nothing on this world that looks like those men. And now this time, they're locked in ditches and thorns and unseasonable rains and hail and freezing cold. He came to the conclusion that Nityananda is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is only because of his love and his compassion that he's trying to teach us a good lesson. He's so merciful. And yet we were prepared to rob him, if necessary, to kill him, to steal from him. And yet he's so kind to us that he's willing to purify us and teach us these lessons. I deserve to die for my offenses. But if the Lord allows me to live, I will surrender my heart, surrender my life to Him. As soon as he made that prayer, the storm ended. All the insects disappeared. The thorn bushes unlocked them. Even their limbs were restored. All the thieves were in total daze.
Hare Krishna.
They all went to the Ganges and took bath. And the leader of the dacoits, first thing in the morning, he came to the house of Hiranya Pandit and was weeping in ecstasy. He was weeping in repentance. And because he was repenting so deeply in his heart of hearts, and he had surrendered to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, there was actually devotional ecstasies manifesting in his body. All of a sudden, he walked into the room and fell on the floor in prostration, begging for Nityananda Prabhu's mercy and crying. The devotees, they knew what kind of a cruel person he was. They were thinking, perhaps he's just acting like this just to get in. But Nityananda Prabhu understood his heart. He said, "Why have you come?" And he explained, "I have been robbing people, I have been killing people my whole life, and I tried to do the same to you. Why? Because I was so enamored by your ornaments. The first night what happened, he explained. The second night, and what happened last night. You are so merciful, so kind, that you have done all that to me just to teach me that you are the Supreme Lord and I am your eternal servant. I beg forgiveness for my offenses. But where to go? If one has fallen, the only thing one can do is take shelter of the earth. If one offends you, the only shelter is to take shelter of you. I surrender my heart, my soul, my everything to you, Lord Nityananda Prabhu. You may punish me in any way you like. Then he started to cry. He said, for the offenses I've committed, I now beg permission that I may go to the Ganges to end my life. I only pray that I may die remembering you, and birth after birth after birth I will be your servant. Nityananda Prabhu said, no, there is no need for you to end your life. All of your sins I have absorbed myself. Now you are free. Then Nityananda Prabhu took off his garland and placed it on that dacoit and told him, from this day on, you must give up all harsh words and all harsh behavior toward all living beings. Never, ever mistreat anyone. You should always serve others, serve the Lord. Give up all immoral activities. Associate with devotees. Remember the Lord. And chant His holy names. Promise me this, and I will give you love for Krishna. He vowed. Nityananda Prabhu then placed his lotus feet on that man's head and awarded that man the perfection of life. What the greatest yogis cannot achieve. What the demigods cannot even imagine. Nityananda Prabhu gave to him on that day. And then he told him, there are so many other thieves and killers and dacoits out there. They are your people. Deliver them. Bring them all into Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Nam Sankirtan movement. Nityananda Prabhu was doing wonderful pastimes like this every day, wherever he would go. From Navadvip, he gradually went to Kardaha, which is on the bank of the river Ganges, not far from Calcutta and Panihati, actually. And that is where he made his base for the rest of his days. By the will of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He married Janava and Vashuddha, the two daughters of Suryadas Sarakela, who was the brother of one of Nityananda Prabhu's dearest devotees, Goridas Pandit. From Vishuddha he had two children, a daughter named Ganga and a son named Madhvacharya. And no, I'm sorry. The son's name is Virachandra. I'm sorry. Ganga married someone by that name. His son's name was Virabhadra or Virachandra. And what a preaching to Hare Hare. These are a few stories of the extent of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's kindness to the fallen souls. Although these stories may sound very extraordinary, which they are, when the Supreme Lord comes to this earth, why should He do ordinary things that we can do? We can do those things. The Lord does extraordinary things to teach us extraordinary lessons and to attract our faith. Sri Navadvip Dham is the Dham that is especially blessed by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And as Thakur Bhaktivinoda has taught us, if we beg for that mercy, even today, with sincere eagerness and faith, our hearts and our lives could be and will be miraculously transformed. When Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were personally present, they gave liberation of material desires and love for Krishna freely. Just by a glance, or just by their beauty, or just by raising their arms and invoking the holy names. But when they departed from the world, they left behind the process by which anyone and everyone can achieve the same goal. Gornitai, Raghunath Das Goswami, others, they followed the process to show us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself followed the process to show us. All the dissolved devotees of Lord Chaitanya carefully, strictly followed the process to show us. But the Lord was giving love of God for nothing when he was personally present. Just to show us his power. the power of his love, the power of his compassion. And such power has never been seen any other time in religious history as the power of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's love and compassion for everyone. The power of their forgiveness. We hear these stories, we know their power, but they left behind for us. It would be so easy if we could just see Lord Chaitanya in his living form when he was on this earth and go into an ecstatic love and go back to Godhead. So easy. That's what it was like when he was here. But he left behind Kevala Ananda Kanda, a very simple, wonderful process by which we will achieve the same result. To not find faults with others. It's difficult to give up sinful activities. But with right sincerity, right association, right sadhana, we could do it. We could do it. If we just take shelter of the holy name, maybe a little difficult. But all the power of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda is there if they just see we take to the process sincerely. When they are pleased by our earnestness, 40, 50, 60 years is not much, considering the eternity. By their power, they will give us this love. That is why we come to Navadvip. To beg for that love, for that mercy. And part of that begging is to gain the conviction and the willingness to follow the path that they have given us, by which everything can be achieved. We should have no doubts. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Would you like to have a few minutes kirtan? You may dance. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Hare
Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.